would bleed and die for. Who am I that he would break but not will die for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old ragged cross he would go. For who am I? From the beginning, he chose me to be his child, and he had a plan that you and I are a part of. My soul reaches out for something beyond this time, and I know without a doubt that I was on his mind. I often wonder why he'd ever chose me, and by his foreknowledge he predestined me to be on my own. I make mistakes, I slip and fall, just common flesh and bone. But he'll prove someday just what I say, I'm of a special kind. When he was on that cross, I was on his mind. He knew The look of love was on his face. The thorns were upon his head. The blood ran down the scarlet robe, stained with crimson red. As his eyes looked upon the crowd that day, Jesus looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me.
Amen, amen, brother. I guess it's here. Brother Aaron back there is going to come and minister for us. Amen, amen.
Hello. Are you sure? Okay. Praise the Lord. Key AF. I tell you a little something. Sister Johnny and Sister Trudy was standing outside talking, and Sister Johnny kept talking about being old and getting older and older, and I told her that she wasn't getting older. She was getting better. She was getting better and better and better, and I told her she had more experience of getting better than she did last year, and I said, it's all on how you look at it. So we're not getting older, we're getting better. And that's the way I look at it. And this song, it talks about, as I'm standing on solid rock. You know, it says, through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. And you know, as long as we're standing on the solid rock, it doesn't matter what comes our way or what happens to us. You know, because I've seen God move in my life. And it didn't look like there was I didn't know what was going to take place. But you know, God's always took care of me. And I'm so glad I've got a place to stand. Because you know, it's not if I hold on, it's that He held on and He holds on to me. Amen. Cue.
Through my disappointments, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Alone now, with comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with His word to guide me, from temptations hide me, I'm standing on. solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. Solid rock, I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Yes, I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from every storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Amen, amen, amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love
as we sing.
See him, then just take a look around. You might find him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians, and then we'll read in 1 Peter and in Romans as we did this morning and try to continue our thought on what we were speaking about. Now, remember, on the Valentine banquet, it will be on February the 13th. We were not able to get the same building that we've been having the banquet in. All right, so that put us into a problem to make sure that if too many tries to come, then we'll have to try to find a larger building because it takes a good bit to handle us. All right, but now it's February the 13th. The cutoff date is this coming Sunday. They're saying 2 weeks. No, this coming Sunday is the cutoff date, the 10th. If you don't sign up by then, then just don't. And I know you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Well, we don't either, but we planned on having a banquet. Oh, you're so wonderfully, so... You are the petted one of the crowds, You want to be, you don't, I don't know what I'm going to do by then. Well, I don't either. But the Lord willing, I'm going to be at a banquet, you know, to have a good time for the couples because we planned that. I don't know what I'm going to do next Sunday, but the Lord willing, I'm going to be here. You know, all right? But just, you know, people will say, well, I don't know what I can't make plans that long. Well, okay, forget it. Next Sunday, cutoff date, if you don't make plans, the sign-up sheet's downstairs, then, okay, that day you stay at home or do what you want to. You know, that's your business because it's not being sarcastic or nothing. We have to make plans. I would wonder what you would do if we were planning on coming to your house. You would want to know how many is coming, wouldn't you? Right? Well, okay. Put your name down if you want to lay out and don't come. You still got your name down. We won't worry about that part. But if, just please do that where we can get everything to going. Okay, Brother Aaron will be ministering this coming Wednesday. Remember that. Then Bible study on Saturday, 6 o'clock. Then the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Longoria's in Alabama on the third Saturday. Anybody wanting to go, make sure you let us know in advance where we can get everything scheduled and be glad to haul you there and back and all like that. All right? Any other announcements? That seems to be about that gist of it, but just remember that. Remember to pray for these that are sick and the ones at the funerals and the different things, and just pray that the Lord would bless. Remember my wife on Wednesday, and she'll be having the procedure there Wednesday. And then, you know, we'll be doing our best and everything to be in service Wednesday night, just according to how everything goes, because we'll have to make our plans around that, okay? Ephesians 1. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. And we ask you that you would just be with each and every one of us, Lord, and guide each one of us and keep us, Lord, and let us be what you want us to be. Because that's our desire, is to magnify you. We pray that you would just be with us this afternoon, and as we try to speak about you, that you would come into the hearts of the people and, Lord, speak to them. And just have your way with all of us, that we may all walk upright in your love and your grace. Forgive our sins, because that's the thing that we desire more than anything else, is to have nothing between our soul and our Savior as we walk in this life. Guide us now and keep us. Remember the sick. Remember the different ones and the funerals and things. Be with each one. Have your way with all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What? That in the dispensation, or the time where we're at, right, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, not before you heard it or anything else, right? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right. Let's go. I don't know which way they got it in order, but let's go to Peter and pick up that. 1:23, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now we drop back to the thought in Romans, the word that we picked up this morning. We'll just use the verse 18. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, may I quote Brother Branham, page 7 of Perfect Faith? Only by the word. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, for the thought today, I want us to be thinking on something that the Bible speaks of there. And it says that we're gathered, however how you say it, by a great cloud of witnesses. You remember that in the scripture? That means all that have went on before us, a great cloud of witnesses. Now, you know that they're dependent upon you and I to come to the place to where that they could be returned unto their bodies back to earth and being in that part. So then, you know, it's a great cloud of witnesses, but it's a great cloud of people who were positive in their attitudes and thoughts. And I hope that we will gather to that point and see it. I know this is a year that we've entered a new one, and probably a lot of horrible things will transpire in this year, but the most wonderful things to the bride of Jesus Christ will happen in this year also. So then we forget all of the other things and go on with God's word and believing him. Now, I've made this statement, so I thought, well, I'll put it on here. I like to do that sometimes because people say, I don't know Brother Branham, and some people don't have the ability to run up a lot of things, but I've kept making the statement that Brother Branham said he didn't see anything to hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus outside of the readiness, and I'd say of the bride, but it says of his church is actually the statement, so they'll pull it up. It's on "And Knoweth It Not," paragraph 39, and it's 1965, so says, let's think of the Laodicean church age and its condition today. As far as I know, I don't see anything to hinder at this time the coming of the Lord Jesus outside of the readiness of his church. I think that one of the, and he called it the prophecies. All right, now I looked as much as I could while ago to doing it to try to find that maybe where he made the statement, but I did find this back in 1952 off the message "For Him Will I Accept," if they'll run that one up, paragraph or E3. He's talking about the great realms of the church. The only thing that's holding off the coming of our Lord, now that's 1952. The Lord Jesus for his church and setting up of his kingdom is the difference between the full gospel people. That's right, as long as we say, I belong to this, I belong to that, I received this, I did that, and don't recognize the brother as your brother, I think that's one of the hindrances we have now, one of the hindrances of not receiving our Jesus Christ coming. All right? I don't have any problems with recognizing brothers and things like that, you know, and recognizing people, but I know we do have problems because a lot of people say they're not of our ranks, they're not of this group, they're not of that. Well, that could be the hindrances and could be that point. But remember what he said, as far as I know, I don't see anything to hinder but the readiness of his church. And what are we expected to be? I didn't give them this one, but page 15 of the Church Age book. He's talking about the bride be at the church. So, excuse me, Christ in the church is a continuation of the book of Acts. You know, and he comes on down to a point to say, he knows that, talking about Satan, he knows that if the people get a true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of what the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist, Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his very effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, what now? Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With a revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. All right? What now? Revelation. Okay, then what is holding off the coming of the Lord? The bride realizing who she is. Not as much as maybe our lives, but yet that's part of it. But to know and to realize who she is and what she stands for and what she's here for. See, there's, you'll get the message today, or maybe if I don't finish it, I'll continue on later, to see that this is one brother that believes in a positive revelation, a positive understanding, a positive walk in life. You know, I'm 75 years old, and I go into the doctor's office, and he says, "How you doing?" I said, "Wonderful." You know, well, I believe in being that way. You know, I can't stand it now. Sorry. I can't. What's Brother Forney got? Wowsy, wowsy, woo. You know. Oh, man, that is saying nobody having problems like I'm having problems. You know, just, oh, just down and out. And I wasn't that way in the Baptist. So why be that way in after coming into the message? You know what? I had a positive attitude. I didn't have to worry about it. It was never questioned. Are we going to church? Well, one of the kids thought about sneezing this morning. So we'll all stay at home and help it. You know. Yeah. You say, that's silly. That's what I say. That's silly. That's silly. I wasn't that way in the Baptist. You know, when the message came, I saw the positiveness of the man that was bringing the message. That he never had that down and out, even though he would have had a justifiable right to a lot of times because of the rejection and time. But yet he just kept right on going. He might have had a dozen in a meeting when at one time he had 500,000. But did it stop him? No, he stayed positive. Well, that's what I want, is a positive attitude. All right, let's try to get back into the thought we were this morning and get to the message. Now, we were tying back up to the message we preached prior to this about the little woman at the well having a little understanding of the Word of God and saying that I know when the Messiah cometh. Yep. And then she would say that he was a prophet. I perceive you're a prophet on proving his word, Brother Branham using it. He says that's just all he wanted her to see. Here is a great Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a scholar in the word and lived in the church, and that's all he done was read the Bible, but yet he would recognize, as I said, that Jesus was a prophet, but he would not recognize him as the Messiah. You remember that last Sunday? He wouldn't do that. He didn't go that far. So he didn't have enough to carry him on to Pentecost. Yet the disciples, Peter would say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." A lot of times they said that he was the Messiah. And you know, that Martha at the resurrection of Lazarus, "I believe that thou art the Christ." He was recognized by many of the people that were in the day that he was dire until finally one day he said, do you now believe? You know, it had got kind of that point. All right. Then, and doing that, see, we should at least make our confession. But remember now, even though in Luke, as we covered this morning, 24, 32 through 45, that two times it said that he opened their understanding of the scriptures, but yet that still never gave them a new birth. It never brought them to the new birth right then. But I believe it. I've always, since many, many, many years, 40-something, I have believed it this way, that I believe what they had was what held them, and it took them to Pentecost because, let's see if I can find it, I get on over, because in the parables and the mysteries and things of Jesus talking to them, in Matthew 13:23, talking of the parable of the sower and the seed, it says, they had the word and they understanding it or understood it. All right? In Mark, you'll find them, when they were hearing the word, it says they received it. In Luke 8, it says, having heard the word, they keep it. All right? See, and with their heart, then what was he doing? He was sowing the seed or word of the kingdom. He was never speaking in his life of a literal kingdom that was to come. And he said to Pilate, what? Unto this end, when he said, are you a king? Unto this end was I born. But Pilate wasn't afraid of him because he done said, hey, if my kingdom were of this world, my disciples would fight. And you know there's none of them fighting. You know, it was a very odd kingdom, right? To where that Peter would grab a sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus just put it back on. You know, with no argument, telling Peter, put up the sword. You don't understand. All right? And see, even after, as I said, his resurrection, that he was seen of over 500 brethren, the Bible says. But yet, out of that, 120 is all that made it to the upper room. Where was the other 380? Why wasn't they there? And surely he had opened their understanding, and surely they had seen him and knew of him. Why was they not following the disciples to go on? All right? Because they still did not understand in the book of Acts in 1 and 8, we restore the kingdom to Israel at this time. They still didn't understand. Why? Because it was to be a spiritual kingdom. It was not to be a physical kingdom and all. It was to be a spiritual kingdom. And it would have to be then, as I made the statement this morning, and we'll keep making it, that I want you to show me anywhere in the Bible that the Holy Ghost ever came on anybody that they had not heard the word first. See? There is no scripture. You can't do it. It was there. Go all the way through and try to find it. Give you some good time to read if you try to find that. I remember Brother George Canada was saying that a man one time said something and he was telling him it's not in there. He said, I'll go read. He come back and he said, did you find that? And the guy said, no, I didn't find that, but I found a lot of other good stuff. So go read. You know, I like to stir you up. I like to get you to studying on your own. All right? But the word has to come first. Why? Because this is the kingdom is what? The king was planting the seed. There's not but one sower of the seed in the Bible. Whether it be old, new, now, whatever. The Son of Man is the sower of the seed. That's why he picked the prophets to bring and would call them Son of Man. That's why he was recognizing himself as Son of Man. That's why it ends up in the end time. What? Winds up in the end time as the bride being now. I'm quoting Brother Branham, so you run your click and go get your computer. Check it out. She is the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. Well, I just don't see it. Well, that don't have nothing to do with it. Yeah. I run off a quote there a while ago where Brother Branham said one of the mysteries of the last days was to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. You remember that?
Amen.
Now, he never said to receive the Holy Ghost without an experience, because he always taught an experience.
Amen.
But it's without a sensation. In other words, you can't put it on, I spoke in tongues, I shouted. That's just attributes. The word had to be sown. Now, trying to get up just a thought up to where we're at. The word had to be sown before Jesus Christ could die.
Amen. Right.
It would have done no good for him to come and died without the word being sown Amen. Into the disciples' hearts. And even that God would open their understanding. See, that's where people of the message think, well, my understanding's open. I must be born again. May I quote the prophet? Let's see, how is it in the... to believe it? What is it? Come on. That's just being able to read. You say you believe. He said, that's just being able to read. I remember how wonderful it was to you when you first heard of this message and began to read. My understanding of the Bible was vastly open in the first 2 years of my walking in this message until I just read and read and read and read. I make the statement and people look at you, oh, you're just trying to be exalted. I done it. I read 6 books and listened to 2 tapes in 1 day. I had a wonderful job, had wonderful friends. We got along. They took care of me. I took care of them. And a lot of times I sat with Brother Collie up in what was called a tire balcony, and I could just read for 4 hours. You know, it was wonderful and all of that. And my understanding was being opened vastly to the Word of God until I was called a 2-year theologian. That was the terminology that was used about me, that I'd just become a know-it-all at 2 years in the message. But you've heard me say it too, that I wasn't born again until 2 years in this message. Yet I had my whole life set on everything. Yet I had seen God when I was 11 years old. I've seen many things, had many experiences, but none of them matched what Brother Branham said. It didn't match what the Word said. Because the Word we just read tells you how to get born again. That ended up this morning saying, Jesus said you must be born again. A requirement. He explains that. We'll get into that in another message. He explains that, or the water and the Spirit and the thing. But really, Peter was the one who explained it in what we read, that you're born again, what? By the incorruptible Word of God. In other words, the Word made alive. See, it's the seed. The seed, we'll get it today. The seed is the Word of God. But Brother Dale, I'd born with this seed in me. Well, where was it? And what is it? When God only has one seed. And that's His Word. What's the problem with all of us?
Right.
Why can't we be or think about, even like we covered in the book of Acts, that those people, most of them probably of the 3,000 outward, not the 120 in the upper room, they had walked with the Word for 3.5 years, but they were not born again. That maybe, I don't know, but it seems to have been the hardest thing for me to try to preach to the people of this message until I've got where that I told Brother Forney the other day. I said, Brother Forney, I'm tired of fighting. And I said, I'm not going anymore. I said, I'm not saying I won't never go preach anywhere. But I said, there's one thing about it. I'll have thus saith the Lord. If you tell, you come and you hear me say I'm going to so-and-so to preach, you know one thing for sure. I've got thus saith the Lord, or I'm not going. I'm tired of fighting. But I'm not tired of one thing. I have fought this battle over the Word being revealed to you and I. Because if it's not revealed, it cannot be in the kingdom. And if it's not preached, how can you receive it? as well. I've got Brother Branham. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying what he said. Now, you say you got Brother Branham. Okay. Then you remember what he said. You remember what the Bible said, that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. I didn't say that. Just rip that out of the message and throw it away. Oh, by the way, Brother Joe has a little bitty small card. He'll explain it Wednesday. They've got the message down now to that much on a chip. And they've lowered their prices to where it's only like $20 if you want it. You can slide it in. It's the whole message on a little old bitty thing ain't that big. So then he'll announce it Wednesday. It's from Voice of God Recordings. And, you know, anybody that wants it, we'll be glad to try to get it where you can have the message. You can put it in your cell phones. You can put it in anything just about it and carry it with you. I love to set up on a deer stand. I've set up there and listened to three tapes and just, you know, hey, I slept too. What was you doing while you was listening at home? Why wasn't you listening three times? Okay, but think about it. Okay. Remember what we were saying this morning. Try to get to the thought. That little woman had a little understanding of the word. And that before we can be in the kingdom of God, we must hear the word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But just because now the word is opening to you does not mean you are definitely born again. That's a good sign. That is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, as we'll get to it later, where the Spirit in you agrees with the word. Yeah. But what about the disciples? The word was open. What about David singing, "Thy word have I hid in my heart"? You know what Brother Brown said he needed? Was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? The 120 in the upper room, spoken words, raised no seed. He said the 120 seeds laying up there waiting, what? For the life to come to the word to make it alive. Well, what do you mean? It was open. They believed it. They believed who he was. So does the devil. Now, you got anything on him? All right. But to see that, to understand that, what is it? That trying to see the point of one little simple thing. As we ended up on 1 Peter this morning saying, 1 Peter shows us how to be born again and what that new birth is. It is the birth of the Word. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Ever new birth. I don't care who it is. I believe this all along since I heard Brother Branham. Ever new birth is the same. Now you explain that to me that it's not. Yeah, but I shouted and they cried. You're dealing with evidences. You're dealing with attributes of those things. Ever new birth is the same. You remember this morning what we were saying? The prophet said all people who have a new birth were born again. Where? In Bethlehem. Something like that, right? Well, I ain't been over there. Well, no. Boy, that's really nice. But listen. The new birth, or being born again, that Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. We will get to it in the next message, that he was explaining perfectly what Peter was saying. That it's the birth of the Word that we're talking about. See, then the new birth is the same in every age, has always been the same. It is the birth of the Word. All right? Yeah, but you said, but Luther was this one. He was part of the Word. Right? But what are we to be? I thought Brother Brown said we were to be delivered. How does he say it? Paraphrase. Why? Because this message was to come to bring you and I a new birth. You say, but there was a lot of people had a new birth before Brother Branham came. I'll agree with you. But you'll come to the Word. You can't have the new birth and not come to the Word. I don't care what it costs. You're going to come to the Word if you have the new birth. If you don't come to the Word, you don't have a new birth. That ought to be sensible. You know, there ought not have to be any problem. See? So as I said, the disciples in the parables of the kingdom. One would say they're understanding it. One would say they're receiving it. One would say they're keeping it. Or kept it, ever how you say the word, right? But they were waiting for one thing. And that is the birth of that seed that they had held. The Holy Ghost was the water to the word. All right? See, then watch. Foreknowledge. Back up where we've been. Foreknowledge is the fact of God foreknowing. Right. Now, as I said, I cautioned you, don't cabbage down on foreknowledge to just say it's in his mind. Right. He thought of it. Well, he thought of Judas Iscariot. Yes, but he thought of me as being one of his children. You'll find out one of these days, as I found out in this series, you did not become seed by the new birth. You were seed and could be born again. Now we got to find out how the prophet explains that, the Bible explains that, of us becoming seed. Remember, seed without moisture is no good. The pyramids of Egypt, that rice laid in there 4,000 years or something, and they took it out, put the moisture to it, and it growed. Why? Because it was a germinated seed. Right? What does it mean to be a germinated seed? We'll try our best to move up a little bit this afternoon and then go on into those things later. Because now remember, so we're going to start, we didn't even get on our notes this morning, okay. Go ahead with one, number one on the notes. And remember what it is that we quoted over and over, page 154, Smyrna Church Age, which is Church Age book. Chapter 4. And watch. You don't believe in reincarnation. You don't believe in those things. But look what he said. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there. Too far back for the human mind to grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts. Thought and decreed. Jacob have I loved. But Esau have I hated. Now keep this thought in mind on predestination and foreknowledge. The prophet says five times, I'm pretty sure it is, that predestination, it's in relation, maybe not exact word, but predestination looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks to destiny. So anything that is predetermined is destiny determined. And the reason it would be predetermined would have to be on the basis of his foreknowledge. Or else he would be a respecter of persons. But back up a little bit further with us, because Brother Forney done a marvelous job there the other night on what's not. And I've tried my best to get you to see. From Christ the mystery of God revealed, where Brother Brown said God had a plan and a purpose. That he was going to see it achieved. Now, if he had a plan and a purpose, then he had that before he predetermined anything. So back up with me a little bit, and Brother Branham would give the wording, in the back part of God's mind. Let's back up into God's mind far enough until we can let the prophet, because he's the only one that could back up that away. But he could back up and tell us not just what God had in his mind that he wanted to do. That's what we deal with it. We get into foreknowledge. I hope it's helping you, but just don't stop on that God has foreordained this because he saw it. I ask you a question. I still haven't preached on it yet, but I ask you a question. How many of you parents in here chose your children? Now, I don't mean in vitro, scissors, whatever, what those big old words are, why they take this and put it together and go to this. Did any of you choose your children? I liked it in the old days. I liked it in the old days when you didn't know what was coming. Right? I don't like it now that you know their name, their telephone number, and their addresses before they're ever born. I don't care for that. I like the surprises. I like it to be like it was with Terrence when he was born. And two guys was betting a bet on a stake on whose baby was the biggest. One was 5-something, the other was 6-something. They come rolling them down at that time and let you look at them. Roll them down and unlooked. My Lord, me. He was laying there fat. I looked at my sister. I said, my Lord, Myrtle, he looks just like you because she was that way. Red-faced. Kind of plump. And the guy said, how much did he weigh? I said, just weighed 10 pounds, 2 ounces. One of them said, does it? My Lord, his baby's bigger than both of ours. Well, see, now they can tell you how much it's going to weigh. Like I said, it's address, telephone number, social security number. You can get a chip put in if you want to, before it's ever born. I don't like it that way. I like it to be like it was. When Anna was born, there's Nanny, you know, because, you know, back then they give you the shots and you're out of it, and she's laying there. She said, what is it? I said, a little girl. She said, how much weigh? I said, 10 pounds. She said, you're lying to me. It's another boy. I said, no, it ain't. You know what I done? I went in there and told the nurse, I said, would you mind bringing the baby in? She brought the baby in. I said, would you mind unfolding enough that she can see what this baby is, you know? Because we didn't have all that, okay? Get you to laugh and you won't sell up on me later. Okay. But what did the prophets, in making his statement about the things, what was the one thing that we've talked about? Foreknowledge before predestination. So let's back up in that foreknowledge. Not as just a point, I've been this 2 or 3 times, not as a point of just saying he thought of this, but back up to where that you're part of the thought. I don't want to be what he thought of because he thought of Judas. So he could have thought of me the same way. But what about being part of the one who's doing the thinking? Amen. You'll get it one of these days, what I'm trying to say. You don't choose your children. If you were chosen in him, you didn't choose. He chose you. We come to earth, we cry, we pray, we see. That's the predestination. That's the foreknowledge of God to know that we would do that we would want it. But back up into the point, all right, to what the prophet would say at what? It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. That is it. Way back there. Too far back for the human mind to grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts taught and decreed. Yep. Jacob, have I loved. Esau, have I hated. Yep. Now, I've been over this and over it with you, so you won't misunderstand me. He looked down and seen what Jacob would do and what Esau would do. But if we can get that far this afternoon, you know that Brother Brown said, Jacob alone was seed. I believe in a predestinated eternal seed. I believe in a predestinated eternal life. I believe in a predestinated eternal people who have the same eternal life that God had and that were not chosen to come to earth to be sinful, but that he would know if he made us, we would do that. but yet knowing too that he would come down and redeem. Redeem means to go back where you come from. But we want to redeem only back to his mind. Be careful. Judas was there. How far do you want to go? All right? So now keep in mind, because I'll repeat this again, that it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the word or seed. But see, the person comes predestinated by God's foreknowledge. Now the thing can't say, why did you make me this way? God's foreknowledge deals with earth and time and beings because he knows it. That's his foreknowledge. All right? He could say, Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? Before either one of them made a choice. Because he knew what their choice would be. Now, in case I miss it and don't get down to it, you know that Brother Branham said that Jacob's desire for that birthright. Oh, my Lord. That was the same way that the little woman at the well had a little understanding. You'll see this thing goes further than just foreknowledge as we think. Foreknowledge. We think foreknowledge is just knowing before. What about before God ever even thought about you and I? He would be the eternal God. But if we're not a part of him, where are we? Listen. Let's get some points. We talk about a seed. You say, well, Brother Dale, I just can't figure it out. One time you talk about us being a seed, next time you talk about us not being a seed. That's just where you're not understanding. I have never said anything about us not being seed. I've said I don't believe the way people are saying that we are seed. Because everybody wants to put something in you. I just feel like it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. But yet you're going to feel like it. What about it? Do you take these statements? Go ahead with number two. It is the rising of the sun, 1964-65, 4:18. Don't fear. Come down with the keys of death and hell. I've already conquered, he said. Don't fear anymore. Forever foreordained predestinated seed of God shall come to life when the light spreads across the earth of the glorious gospel in every age. It'll bring forth the crop that God ordained it to do. He had raised from the dead. You see what he's saying? What good is it to have a seed without water to water the seed? See? So what does every predestinated seed have to have? No matter what you want to predestinate, what you want to do, you've got to come back to it. You've got to have the water to make the seed alive. I'm a firm believer in the statements Brother Branham made about a predestinated seed. But remember, a predestinated seed, there's only one seed that comes predestinated eternally. And that's God's word. Now, does that connect with Genesis 1:26 and 27 about the let us make man? Does that go on over to his brother Forney? Was he hitting him in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman? Does that tie together with, what is it, Galatians 3:16? Is that where it is when it says there's only one seed, which is Christ?
seeds not as of many, but as of one, which is Christ, which is the Word. So now you see, then Jesus was sowing the seed. Do you realize He sowed you into the Word? How'd you get there? Well, I didn't know I was in the Word. Well, where you been? You certainly haven't been around here very long if you would say that you never thought about us being the Word. Because that's what I scream and holler every service about. Look what he says. He goes on in that same message on what is wonderful thing. I am alive or quickened. The word means the word quickened. The Greek word means something that's made alive after death. You know, a seed is worth nothing until it dies. Right? It's no good without moisture, and it's no good unless it dies. And, may I quote Brother Branham, and rots. But you know what? It don't make a bean when you put it in the ground. It don't make corn a corn when you put it in the ground. If it was not in that germatized seed. So we better deal with germination for a little bit, I guess. One day, but I'm on this part. Look at the next one, number three. Proving his word. Knowing that there would be unbelievers. Now listen. And how the majority would be unbelievers. He by foreknowledge predestinated a seed for every age. He predestinated a seed for every age. Not just by foreknowledge. The foreknowledge is the unbelievers. What? Predestinated a seed for every age that would believe it. Now are we still with a little woman? She had a little understanding. What was different, her and the rest of them? A little understanding. Now if you'll notice in there, for each age goes right on with his word. Everything right on time, nothing hinders God. He goes right on, and every click is moving just exactly right. We think sometimes it's not going to move right, but don't you worry. His clock is timed just exactly to the split instant, and everything is working just exactly right. You know, Brother Branham said it this way. Now, if I'm paraphrasing it, but. You know, he said, God don't need a group. You remember that statement? What does he need? He needs one man to believe his word. May I say it this way? He just needs one person. Now, that would mean your sisters have got a part to do with it, too. Okay? But he says the biggest portion of the world is full of unbelievers. Foreknowledge, he would know that. But then he predestinated a seed for each age. One time he said it like this about the little woman at the well, probably future home. He said, how would it ever figure, I'm paraphrasing, for that to work out like it did to fall into her? What was anything that was in her? Oh, she's born with a seed in her. Yeah, and I know the way you preach it too. You preach the seed was born in her, and as quick as Jesus spoke to her, it was made alive. You give her the new birth right there. That's unscriptural. Well, the prophets. Yeah, I know what the prophet said. So let's continue on. Look at the next one, proving his word. Paragraph 122. Now I want you to notice he does it that way in every age. He does it every time by the same method. He has to take believers. And then in order to have believers to meet that word, listen, he's got to predestinate it to that age. Wesley didn't come in Luther. Luther didn't come in Pentecost. It's something predestinated for every age, just using the church ages, right? He's got to predestinate it to the age, you see? He's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age. He said the seed will be there just at that time he predestinated a bride. A bride. I told you if I get time, I'll get back to it, and we'll do a little bit into this. But what about the prophets coming predestinated eternally? Brother Branham didn't have no problem saying that. Not the flesh. Not the person outside. That's strictly foreknowledge. He knew where it would fall. That's foreknowledge. But that prophet is part of the word, right? May I quote Brother Branham? Part of the word that is written what? Somebody want to finish that? In his own life. You realize this prophet could not have come in any other age because he would not fit the part of the age. Luther couldn't come in Wesley's day and Wesley couldn't come in Luther's day. Everybody, that seed was predestinated to come. The shock, the tassel, the growing, the growing, the growing. He said he'd have believers to meet that word. He's got to predestinate it to that age. And he would have believers to meet the word. So by his foreknowledge, he knew you and I would want this end time message. Right? But the seed itself, the word, is predestinated straight from God. I hope I can drive that and drive it and drive it. Because he's got to have believers. He's got to have believers. You know where he's at in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. When he talks about the hidden mystery that God wants to speak onto the church, he said the hidden mystery that God had in his mind before the world ever begun and has unfolded itself right down on this, I believe, this present hour that we're living. See, then you'll understand clearly on what he was believing. God's great mystery, how it's a secret. He kept it a secret. Nobody would know anything about it. Even the angels didn't know it. But watch this, that, as we come on down to paragraph 107, roll it on up to 107 just to save reading. If you ain't interested in reading what he says, then don't tell me I didn't say what he said. Is that blunt enough? He has showed or revealed it in every type that's in the Bible. He showed this mystery in every type that's in the Bible. And Brother Brown back before then called it the seventh seal mystery. What? Look what he's getting to. The entire Bible is a revelation of God's mystery in Christ. The entire Bible is an expression of one goal that God had, one purpose he wanted to achieve in the entire Bible. Watch. And the acts of the believers in the Bible has been in type and expressing what God's great goal is. And now, in this last days, he has revealed it and shows it. And God's help, we'll see it right here this morning, what the Lord had in his mind all along and has expressed it. But did you read that? All the acts of the believers in the Bible. Now, here is my thought. We will read a little bit more. But the Bible is not just a book of names. It's not a book of history, even though it has those things within it. It's not just, I'm quoting Brother Branham, I'm going to paraphrase if you want it off the side over here. He said it's not just even a prophecy. He said, though it is. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, if it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, and he is trying to reveal his bride, and she, according to Christ, is a Christ's mystery. She is part of the mystery and must be revealed. I believe that's Christ the mystery. That she's part of the mystery and must be revealed. You know what I like? All spoken words written in the seed. He said he'll be pointing to the skies at the returning of Christ, saying, "Behold the bride." That's a paraphrase, but it's very close. Behold the bride. You remember John on Patmos would describe a city, it looked like the bride. He described a bride, looked like a city. It's like he couldn't decide which was which. Amen. Well, don't worry about it. It was looking alike.
Amen.
The Bible is set up on believing and showing you and I. All right? Number 6A. Well, you're getting there. He ends up Christ, the mystery of God revealed, by saying, when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world, when his great hidden mystery, his secret. He didn't choose us after we got here. And I've said it and I'll say it again. He never chose you. You say, yeah, you said a while ago he chose me. No, he never chose you. He chose himself. You're chosen in Christ. You didn't choose your children. He didn't choose this predestinated seed that is him. Are you with me? He never chose a predestinated seed eternally that is him. That's the only way it can be eternal is to be him. You can't break it nowhere else. Look what he says here on the message. Okay, they got it up. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When his great hidden mystery, his secret. Okay? Run on up to paragraph 524, which is the next one from Christ's mystery. Watch. Now you see the seals. Now I'll quote a couple of the statements that Brother Branham says the book is sealed and you're sealed with the book. You realize by revealing the seals would be revealing you. No, it's revealing Jesus Christ. I'm glad you got that far. Now jump on up a little bit more. Back up and see what he's talking about. Who is Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. I thought the prophet said the Word was to be made flesh in the last days. Brother Dale, that's just too much. I just can't believe it. Well, okay. Go to sleep and take care. The Son of Man's already been betrayed in the hands of sinful men. Yeah. Okay. Now you see the seals. When he was in his mediatorial work back there, redeeming. But someday he comes for to get this book. Now I quote it this way, Brother Brown said, when the last, let's see, he said, Irenaeus said, that was on the second seal we just listened to last night, where Brother Lee Vail said that Irenaeus said that when the last seed comes in, the Lord will come. I believe that, don't you? But someday he comes to get this book that he's redeemed. Is it a Thompson chain or I'm glad I got a Schofield. That was what it was. Oh, you're wonderful. But it is the Bible, right? Because the Bible is a list of people. And it's a list of names and the things that would go on while the name is on earth. Remember, Brother Neville, it is not Armand Neville. But he said it is what would take place in the time that Armand Neville is on earth would put his name in the book. Okay, watch. All that's in this book would be him. Are you reading?
Yep.
All that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. The words in the book. And the word is him. So now, that's not doing a lot of bragging on you and I, is it? But you know what? It is, because it's showing where he's at. Remember, it's a seed or word forever age. Now what's he saying? And all that's in the book would be him. For that's the believer. Who is the Christ down through all the ages? Why does it call him the Christ? It calls it that because it's anointed. You mean Moses was not a predestinated? You wouldn't think he's a predestinated seed? When that he would be so close to God that he could speak face to face, lip to lip, everything else with him, and he could write 5 books and tell you what happened in Genesis. Now, some of the others could have been records that was made, right? You know, they had records. They kept up with it. Most of the time it was by mouth to mouth. But you go over to some of these foreign countries right now and you can sit down with a certain person in the tribe and they can tell you who married who and who's who and how many children they had. That's what they dwell on. They are the lineage keepers. You had those in the days of Moses. Right? But where did he learn about the serpent seed and the things? Must have come straight from God. Remember, may I quote it on the seal book? Brother Brown said at first was a thought. He said it's not word yet. He said first it was a thought, said it was Moses' thought. He said then he spoke it and it became the word. And all that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer. The words in the book. And the word is him. And all that's in that, he come forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world when he was slain as a lamb. What about it? The title of the message this morning, this afternoon, is The Writing of the Book. You realize that in the writing of the book, he's writing about people who lived and had an experience. You don't read the Bible that way. You don't read the Bible to see if Moses' experience that he had with God. See, I'm just as happy to read about his experience as I am mine. I love to hear your experiences. I love to hear your testimonies. I love for you to tell your testimonies. Write them down. Let me read them. I love it. Sister Barbara gives me one about every 2 months or something. She'll write a letter. Sister Johnny used to write them from New York and send them to me. She kind of does it personal now. You know? I love to hear your experience. What about it? Are you part of the book? But Brother Dale, my name's not in it. In the Old Testament, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that what we just read? It's him. Amen. The believers in the book was him. Amen. Who could tell God a better way of doing something? Right? And Brother Brown said, I used to wonder about that until I found out he was the Christ. That it was Christ in Moses. Who was it down through all of that? Who was the great man that could take a sling and kill a giant and a bear and a lion and one with a knife or something? Just, but you know he wasn't the only one. You remember in the time David there was killing those giants and everything? Here's one of them over there. He's whooping 2 or 3 of them. We don't get on them. We want to say, well, to be right there, you know. One jumped down in the pit with a lion and killed it. My Lord, I'd leave him in the pit and cover him up. Wouldn't you? He just didn't like the lion, evidently. And he trusted God. You see, in the writing of the Bible is a writing of people. It's a list of names. Adam, Eve. Okay, it's got Abel. But to show the natural that goes with it, it's got Cain. It's got the children of Israel going through, but at the same time, it's got the Moabites. That's where you can keep records and keep everything straight. Do you know that even the book of Esther does? Am I right? It does not have the word God in the book of Esther. It is a record to where they can keep things straight for a purpose, right? Do you see it? We look at it as different things, but do you see that down through there, the children of Israel in their journeys and their travels? Ezekiel, get over there and talk about it. I remember preaching this 40, 50 years ago. Ezekiel, get over there and talk about the wheel in the middle of the wheel. You know, and all of those things. And Brother Brown said that was the children of Israel in their journey. Because the big wheel run by faith, the little wheel run by the word of God. Wheel in the wheel, way in the middle of the air. The believers in the book. We come to the New Testament. We have the book of Acts. We have the writings of the apostles, which was about people and what was going on. And their personal revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? Their positive faith. Remember, no novice to write. Come on, am I right? No novice writes anything about God. You know what I mean? A novice, a child, a baby in the faith. He has his times and all. But you want somebody that's anchored and knows and hears from God. What about then we come down through the church ages? And we get out to Elisha's church age. In the writing of the word. Now, quote just a few without getting them. Modern events by prophecy. Brother Branham is talking about the word as a thought expressed. God's thinking expressed his words through the prophets. And they wrote the Bible, which is in word form. And Jesus called it a seed. And any seed will bring forth of its kind if it's in the right condition. Man, now this is going to throw you if you're listening, but listen. Events made clear by prophecy. Man didn't write the Bible. And we just got through saying that was the writing. You know, man wrote it. Moses wrote it. Joshua, they wrote it. Come on, get what he's saying. Man didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. What did he use? The prophets. It's not a man's book. It's God's book. It is God's thought expressed through human lips.
Amen.
Writing of the word. The book is written within and then sealed on the backside. Trying to get to a point and then I'll stop. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Go ahead and bring this one up. Bring up number 12. We'll get to that far. We'll jump up. Go ahead to number 12. Okay. Taken from the church age book, somewhere in the church age. And he's talking about Jesus dwelling in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts now manifest in flesh are the sons of God. Even as we are so called, We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed and therefore were reborn. For the only the elect can be reborn, because we were seed is a reason we could be quickened. In non-seed there is nothing to quicken. You say you jumped a long ways. I know it. Try to save time. I hope you follow me. The writing of the book is about you. It's about you. You are the parts that's being played. You are the characters in the seals. Right? You are the ones down through the ages, the people that died, gave their life for the gospel. Those are the characters. Remember, Pharisee means actor. But a real character is not an actor. When you play your own part, you're not an actor. Pharisee is just acting. But a real bride of Christ is not acting. She is the Word made flesh for her age. And that's the writing about it here to us. Now watch it. You didn't become seed by the rebirth. That one's always been a stumbler to me. Until just recently, as I began to bring this series, and it began to unfold. The little woman at the well had a little understanding of the Word. That was the seed of that age. What was quickened to her on the day of Pentecost? We know that when the Messiah cometh. See, you're not going to follow that, I know. And maybe I should spend a lot more time, but I tried this morning to explain it. When they gathered there and Peter preached that sermon, he preached about the people of the Bible. Are you with me? Peter went back and explained the coming of the Christ. Down through the prophets and out into the ages. And he come down and he said, what? Who was it that said it? This is that which was spoken of by the prophets. Is that Joel, I think, right? Which one? This is that. Peter said, this we have now is that. Amen. Made manifest. A man and stood and spoke it. It had to come to pass. Because it was God's seed, our Word. See, that seed come predestinated eternally down through there. You're not going to stop it. You can disbelieve all you want to. But Brother Branham said the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now you argue with him. I know one that great big man said, when that was quoted to him, he called it hogwash. But did that change my thinking about it? No, it encouraged me. Because what encouraged me was thinking that as learned as that man was, that he couldn't just read that. He said, and I heard him, or I wouldn't make the statement. He said, I don't believe in dispensations. Brother Branham said, you that say, now I'm quoting him, you that say you don't believe in dispensations, he said, what about this? What you see? Well, Brother so-and-so said it. What do I care? See, church, this Bible is a list of names of people that has lived upon this earth. And their revelation of Jesus Christ for the time is the writing of the book. So was it in the church ages and things. And so is it in this day when we've come to the ending of all things. We read it in Ephesians, the dispensation of the fullness of time. A prophet, he had no mystery, is that right? Am I quoting him? No mystery. He said he was to go back and pick up all that was left off and bring it down. Then he was to bring the revelations contained in the seven seals. And it be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn us back to the Father. Faith of the Father. Am I quoting him? See? And you say, well, what about this where you didn't become? See, the little woman at the well, that was her seed. You say, what did she have that they didn't have? A little understanding quickened in her. What did Peter have? Thou art the Christ. He's part of the Word. What did Martha say? We know you're the Messiah. I asked you the other day, and I kept on asking you, what scripture stands out to you? Because if we are still in the writing of the book, if you go back to last week's services, you'll hear me make that as the prayer line, as the singing at the end. I said, I stopped the musicians, and I said, I can't hold it. I said, we're in the writing of the book. You and I are part of this book. We are the people that the end of time has come upon. And they without us, down through there all the way, cannot be made perfect. Even back to the Old Testament, even back through there, they can't be made perfect without you and I. When are we going to realize who we are? What was the seed to the little woman at the well? I know when the Messiah cometh. Was it a seed put down inside of her in a certain spot that had to be this and had to be that? I thought, we believe, Brother Branham. He said the little woman had representation from predestination. He did not say by predestination. That would have messed up the entire scriptures. Because it would have mean he picked her and chose her. He didn't pick and choose her. She's just part of his word. Did he choose something to make you and I? Or are we just part of his word? Which one is it? Why can't we believe in being positive about it and realizing who we are? When the bride realizes who she is and what she's here for, she'll be an invincible army. But we keep pity-patting around, you know. Well, I don't know. That sounds pretty good. But I heard Brother So-and-so say it this way, and I kind of believe him. We'll just kind of go on with him. I don't have no problems. I'm not trying to run nobody off. But I'm not going to beg you to stay either. I'm going to try to preach what I believe and let you decide whether it's right or not. Because remember, it's your experience that you got to depend on, not mine. That's why I kept asking that question. Is there just some scripture that stands out to you? There were 10 or so people gave a scripture, and not a one of them repeated the same scripture. Why? Because this is a multiple-membered body, ever how you say that. A many-membered body. Your name is in the book. If not, it can't be redeemed. He only came for the ones whose name was in the book. You did not become seed by the new birth. You were the Word for your age. Luther never becomes seed by the new birth. Luther was the just shall live by faith. Wesley never becomes seed. He was the seed of sanctification. The Pentecostals with the restoration of the gift was the seed of God. This prophet, the message of Malachi 4, is to the end of all things. And that put his name in the book. Right? We spend a lot of time trying to find him in the book. We rejoice over statements that are made, you know, in the Bible, And I do too. But what about ourselves? Do you have something personal? Old brother used to say, you get them in with a hot dog, you can get them out with a hamburger. His point was, you get them in with a doctrine, somebody can get them out with a doctrine. Right. But if you get the revealed word of God, how can you take it out? Could the little woman at the well deny what she believed? Right. But remember, by her running down and saying, look what this man has done. Look how he revealed my own life. Look what he has done. And they come running up and say, look what he done. Look what he done. He done this for her. He done it. And that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that they said, we don't have to have you of telling us this. We now believe it. See, it had become personal to them. Believing Brother Branham was a prophet and quoting him is wonderful. But where's your own personal revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, I didn't know I had to have one. Well, you know it now. So you know it now that you, what? Never become seed by your new birth. Because Jesus sowed the seed. Right? They understood it, one scripture. They kept it, one scripture. They received it, one scripture. But when they went to Pentecost, they had their own experience. This is that. When just a little bit before then, Peter was running like a scared chicken. Hiding, right? But all at once, something personal come into the man's life. And when he did, he said, this is that. And he said, remember? He said, don't even hang me up, right? He said, hang me upside down. Don't put me, I don't even think about putting me like they did Jesus. Hang me upside down. You know, the story was told by somebody that as they were killing some of the people, the story was told. It's a story, but just listen. Said Peter was walking out of the city. He was leaving. But he seen a lot of them going in, and he knew what they were doing. He knew to stay, he would die. It's just a story. But you know what it could be. He could run any time he wanted to. But he didn't. Paul never run. He had something real. If you got something real, you didn't become seed by the new birth. We'll cover that later more and more and more. You had to have that seed in you. You heard the word. Are you listening? You heard the word. Somewhere. And God made that word alive. There's your new birth. So I've stated it over and over. Find me in the Bible. Anybody that ever got the Holy Ghost without the word being preached first. And I would invite you to go back to what we think is not too welcome, or, you know, not too much. Well, I read them old parables. You know, I read them old parables over and over. I wish you'd go back and read it with a different understanding. And just listen as to him sowing that seed into your heart. I wouldn't back there. He couldn't sow it in my heart. Oh, you're wonderful. How carnal can the mind get? You wouldn't back there when the Holy Ghost fell, so I guess you ain't got it. But heaven help us not to go the way the Baptists and things does it. They say, the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. I got it. Why? Because it come on the day of Pentecost. You ain't never talked to one. Find you one and ask him that. He'll say, I know I got it because it come. That's no more than a reverse the other way. It's a personal experience. 2 years I studied this message. 2 years I cried out to God to give me something that would be scriptural. Brother Moody said, Brother Dale, I know you're not trying to seek signs of gifts and wonders. He said, I've been with you. He said, but there's something wrong. I said, I don't even know what it is. I said, but I'm not going to walk out and say, I've got it because everybody else got it. Amen. Big man in this message told two brothers that was prayed for tonight, I was, said, you got the Holy Ghost. I believe it. He told me that. I told him I didn't get it. Because you see, when Brother Brown started talking about the Holy Ghost, he was talking about something real. He wasn't talking about Grandma's God. He was talking about something in his own life. That way you don't have to worry if it's in your own life. But Brother Dale, it wasn't enough for you to see God standing in a church at 11 years old? No. That was what held on to me. Because I wanted that God. But then when I heard this man talking about that God as being real, I knew I didn't have it. But see, we went to the altar, my wife and I, one night. We was down at Athens, Georgia. There happened to be an old drunk sitting on the front seat. I can well remember it. So can my wife. There was an old drunk sitting over. He'd come in, we'd sit down, he's on the front seat, and we were sitting on, or we either come around to walk up front to be prayed for. And that old drunk, he was sitting there looking at us. I don't know where he got drunk or he got sober. I don't know what happened to him. But all at once, something happened, and I fell one way, and my wife fell the other way, right in front of the guy. And some of them run up real quick and covered her up, and right. But you know what Brother Moat said? He said, Brother Dale, stop trying to find something to anchor you to. He said, believe that God is His Word. And He'll come to you. That's all it took. You didn't shout, speak in tongues, glory, hallelujah. No. The scriptures opened unto me that I had studied for all of my life, because I studied the Bible when I was in the Baptist church. I read it because I believed if I was going to be a Christian, I need to read the Bible. And I'd argue with them old Baptist deacons. We was up there one time, and this group of people come in from another church and brought a big old busload, and they were nice dressed looking young girls, and this old deacon, old enough to be my daddy, he was standing out there looking. And one time he turned around, and you know who was standing there? He was looking at me. I said, brother, you don't do that. He said, oh, the Bible says, look on my heritage. Oh, he knew his Bible. I said, but it don't say left after him. I believed in being right then. I believed in being straight then. I told a man to his face, I said, it don't say lust after him. Oh, them old deacons, they get me into meetings and things, and they start saying old things, because I was 23 years old, an ordained deacon. We was in a meeting one day, I've told you about it. And them old deacons, they started talking about, brother, what happens now? Said, when the pastor gets off the word, said, we are supposed to go up and take his Bible and close his Bible and dismiss the congregation and vote him out and get another one. I said, brothers, according to my understanding of the Bible, all a deacon is supposed to do is wait on tables. And I wasn't joking. I said, all our job is to wait on people, take care of people, and do those things. It is not to direct the Word of God. So I believed it then. This message brought to me the God that I was looking for. Has it done it to you?
Amen.
Just remember, he's still writing his Bible. Until that last name is recorded on earth, I'm quoting Brother Branham's close, he said when that last name comes on earth, it doesn't mean just drops on earth as a baby or whatever, because it wouldn't be, but he said when that name comes on earth, he said the book is closed. You know what he's saying? When that last one comes in and receives Christ, the book is closed. Why? Because he's through writing. You realize this Bible's not complete without your name in it? Do you understand me? The writing of the book is still taking place. And we are the last pages. No wonder we encounter about so great a crowd of witnesses saying, come on, how long? How long? Oh, you're smart in quoting. You say, that's only fifth sealed Jew. You haven't read enough. Go back to Brother Branham and run in how long, and see if it's not those beyond a curtain of time that are saying to you and I, how long, how long? When it says to avenge our blood, it's fifth sealed Jew. Well, you can say, how long, without it being that. See, it's the Word that is to be given birth to. And may I end it with just a simple point. And those people heard on the day of Pentecost the message of the Christ. They believed it. And the Holy Ghost fell. Now may I quote Brother Branham? False prophets bring false births. True prophets bring the birth of the Word. What is Christ the mystery of God revealed? What is the new birth? Brother Branham asked his own self a question. He said, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
So we're part of the Word. Come on, musicians. I'm sorry, went over a little. I don't hope this is a New Year tradition, but I will tell you this much. My goal in this year is the one thing, is to drive so hard as to try to get you and I to see who we are and what we're doing here. That you will be hearing that this year. Try to get us to a positive attitude of believing it. Amen. That quote a while ago, he said he'd be pointing, this prophet would be pointing to the skies to a Word-born bride. That's unspoken word's original seed. This prophet would be pointing to a Word-born bride. We're not going out of here just because Brother Branham came. That is a condemnation to a nation. That is death to a people that just says he came. It's life, the message he brings. But yet we know more about Facebook. We know more about the neighbors and what everything is. Why does everybody want those itching ears, you know? Well, I've even had this one. I can't hear them people that come up to be prayed for, Brother Dale. They deliberately cut off this microphone. Josh cuts it as quick as they step up here. Well, I don't know what to pray for. You busybody old maid school teacher. What else can I call it? Well, I want to know what to pray for. You mean God has to know? You have to tell him what you're praying for? No, you're wanting to know when you get home. Did you hear whatever they said for not to say this? So I'm not saying this. I'm putting it on the internet. Yeah, right? Oh, isn't it wonderful? God put me up here because of me being just aggravating and hateful enough to call it out. But is it the truth? And if it's the truth of what I said, then what are you going to do with it? That's why Brother Dale don't preach sermons after sermons on women's dress and hiring clothes. If you're coming this message and been in this message 3 months and don't know the truth about your clothes and dresses and hire, you ain't studied none. And if you're cutting it and doing these things and all like that and still doing it, you're not born again. Don't tell me. You tell me I ain't born again. I just cut a little bit. Shave your head. That's Bible. But that's what everybody wants. They want a good sermon, they can go home feeling good. Boy, he just got on my toes, and he stomped my toes, and he just beat my toes. Well, get your toes under the bench. They won't get stomped on. Right. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to tell the truth in a way that won't make you so mad at me that you don't like me. Because the truth will set you free. What do we got, brother? Let's stand. What about it? Are you part of the book?
Looks like a bird in prison.
What part of the book are you?
He broke the bonds of prison for me.
Get both of them, Frank Clark. God will take care of it and everything will be right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you take care of all the things. Give our brother a safe journey. Give our sister protection of all things. Satan cannot hinder and get in any way. It all will be well. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. I'm home. Anybody else that just have a need?
Be free, yeah. Be free.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe you and we thank you. Just be with our sister what these are for. Let your love be made manifest in Jesus' name. You just pray for it. Pray that this will take care of the problem. But why go through it if we're not going to believe it that way? That everything will be well. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give our wife this prayer call. We believe you. And by your stripes, she's healed. And when she gets there, that doctor, they do everything they can. We thank you. But yet he'll realize there's nothing he can do. But yet, you will take care of all things. We love you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
He set me free. He broke the bonds. God set me free. I'm gonna be bound like Jesus to see on the glory to God. He set me free.
What about it? Goodbye to sin and all the things. Listen, church. I pray this would be understood. God is not as much interested in our lives, yet we should want to walk after Him. He's got a covering to take care of that. He can't see it. Right? Well, see, who are we that wouldn't want it put under the blood or kept under the blood or erased by the blood and take away the problems? Right? But He's more interested in what we believe than He is interested in what we're doing. He never asked us, only said, just believe. Just believe. Hey, then we go out and live like the devil. You know what we are? We're the devil. So no problem. Right? That shouldn't be any trouble with anybody to understand. Like I've always said, people say, Brother Dale, do you want them people to live right? I said, nope, 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 nope. I want them to get born again. Then I'll take care of living right. That's the problem. We don't want to get them born again. We want to get them to a sign or a doing or a shouting or a crying or something instead of just simply thinking. Brother Branham never preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost without an experience. He preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. That is a stimulation upon your outward fleshly things through your spirit. But an experience is something you live through. I believe in the Holy Ghost coming down all at once. I believe that. I've seen it. But I believe in two people just walking in the Word until they meet that Savior. Brother Gary Atkins, we used to have a thing called the Battle of I-20 because he drove out through there every day hauling camera stuff and all pictures. And one day I kept telling him, I said, Brother Gary, you're trying to figure it out. And I said, you'll never get it figured out. I said, just relax and say, Lord, when you get ready to give me the Holy Ghost, I'm ready. I believe you and I thank you. He called me on the road home one day. He said, Brother Dale, it's over. I knew what he's talking about. He said, it's over. He said, I just met him at the rest area here in Alabama. Well, you know what? That was his experience. What is yours? Well, I've never had an experience, Brother Dale. Well, maybe you ought to pray. I can say it like this. You know what Brother Brown said? If you never spoke in tongues, you ain't stood under the spout long enough, something, paraphrasing it. You know what? I never have spoken in tongues. I don't mind telling you. I've never spoken in tongues. I guess it's because I ain't never been under the spout long enough. But you know what? I think I'm a believer. And I don't worry about the other. Those are manifestations in the flesh. But I can tell a lot of things that some of you can't talk about. I can tell you of smelling God down in the woods. Most beautiful smell you've ever smelled in your life. Miles away from any human being. I've walked when He was there beside of me. And walked with me. I woke up in the middle of the night when He said, pray for so-and-so. I've got up in the middle of the night not knowing who to pray for, but just this morning at 2:30, 3 o'clock, just got up, walked through the house. Lord, I don't know what it is, but something's wrong. Maybe somewhere, take care of what it is, you know. That's all I know, because I'm not a prophet. I don't have that ability. But then I go back to bed and I go to sleep. Because I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've prayed for somebody. It's not all this shouting glory hallelujah, but I've had that too. It's all in knowing that Jesus Christ is alive within you. What did Brother Brown say? The person of Jesus Christ to come and live in you. Well, what person are you looking for? Well, Brother Dale, I ain't never met nobody come walking into me. Here's what you need to be walking in you. Here's what you need to be meeting and studying and praying for it to be revealed to you. Because it's the Word. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Sorry we're a little late this afternoon, Lord, but just help us. Guide us. Go home with us now. Take care of everybody on the way home. Be with all the sick among us and just let your loving grace be with each one. We love you and we thank you. Just take care of everything in your own grace and time because we know you will. And we'll be right there because there's nothing out of cater and everything is right on time. And just have your way. Forgive our sins and lead us. Take care of everybody. Give everybody a safe journey. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.